contentment in God. I'm glad I can say the Lord has given me contentment in my life. It may not be everything that I want it to be. It may not be everything it could be. And I'm sometimes discontented with my life, but I'm never discontented with what He's given. And the the blessings that come from the Lord. Paul says in Philippians, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, and we used this verse not too long ago, he says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And so contentment is a blessing of the Lord. And blessed is that man or that person, that individual, that Christian that has a spirit that is humble before God, is submissive to the Lord, contented with God, and has a heart of thanksgiving, just to rejoice in what the Lord has done for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. We read that real fast. It says in everything give thanks. We want to thank Him for the good things, and that's very easy. But even the hard things, the Lord says, in everything give thanks unto Him. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those that have committed their lives unto the Lord, to have the right attitude, to have the right heart, to have humility of life, and submitted unto God, and to be thankful for every blessing God has given. There's blessings sometimes that we're not aware of unless we really just sit down and realize how blessed we are. Sometimes you'll talk to people and you'll say, how are you doing? And then people, many of them will say, I'm blessed. Well, we are all blessed. Thank God tonight for the many, many personal blessings that God has given unto us. We look around and see people so many different directions and so many different ways of life. We are blessed tonight to be able to have a scripture. We're blessed to be able to be called a Christian. We're blessed to be able to go about our daily walk of life, even in the midst of the struggles and the problems that come our way and the hardships that maybe are there. We are blessed. We certainly should be thankful for what the Lord has done for us. I want to just give you some 6 or 7 things about the poor in spirit. And you'll notice here it says that we that are the poor in spirit, we shall have the kingdom of heaven. The blessing of knowing heaven's joy. The kingdom of heaven is right here upon this earth, and we are a part of that kingdom. We're a part of the blessings of God's people. And so blessed is the poor in spirit. I wonder why the Lord used that first. I wonder why He gave that to them in the very beginning, because I believe those disciples understood what it meant to have a poor spirit. I'm not talking about an inadequate spirit, I'm not talking about a bad spirit, but a spirit that was willing to do whatever the Lord had for them to do. When the Lord commanded them to do things, they just followed His command, and he begins to teach them what it meant to have the blessings of God. The poor in spirit, I believe we understand. People that have that type of spirit understand what the grace of God is all about. Tonight we use the word grace. We sing about grace. We read verses about it. We have much in our personal study of the Scripture about the grace of the Lord. And so we understand that. And the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared. Aren't you glad tonight it appeared to you? Aren't you glad that one night the Lord opened your heart and your eyes and you could understand what it meant to really experience God's grace and God's mercy? And He says it has appeared to all men. And then it says looking for the blessed hope. So the Lord has saved us by His grace. We are looking now for the hope of His return and His appearing. And He is our great God and He is our Savior. And the Bible says there in that scripture that our Savior is Jesus Christ. And so we understand what grace is all about. We use the definition, unmerited favor. The definition means that we do not deserve it, but yet God gave us and shown unto us His mercy and His grace. Grace is the message that we preach. It is the message that goes around the world, that people could be a professing, possessing Christian, not just to have the name Christian, but to have the possession of the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding that the necessity of the Lord saving our soul and helping us, and we are to have that knowledge that we can praise and honor Him that has loved us and has shown unto us His mercy, His grace, God's unmerited, God's favor to you and I. So the poor in spirit, we know, we understand. Now you go outside these doors tonight and you ask people what you mean by the word grace, you'll find hundreds of different ideas. What does it mean to be saved by grace? You'll have many, many different thoughts. But you and I tonight that have the Spirit of the Lord and have submitted ourselves unto Him, we understand the grace of God. We understand that we don't deserve to be here tonight. We don't deserve to have any good. We don't deserve life, because the Bible said the soul that sinneth shall surely die. We don't deserve physical life, and certainly, surely, we do not deserve spiritual life that He gave to us, give us the ability to hear. He gave us understanding. He called us by His grace. He moved upon our heart. He made us to understand that if we're going to ever meet Him, if we're ever going to go to heaven, it has to be through the Lord Jesus Christ and because of His grace. So we understand that. The poor in spirit. It's something that we have that we understand, not that we boast or brag, because we have nothing to boast about. We have nothing to brag about. We have nothing that you can say, look here, God, what I've done. Isaiah tells us all of our righteousnesses, and that's a plural word, are as filthy rags. Everything we put up before God and before His standard, we are nothing. Every good work that we might think we have when compared to the good work of our Lord, the Lord gave Isaiah the instruction just to write it down. They're just dirty rags. That doesn't mean too much, does it? What do we do with that? We either throw them away or we wash them. If we try to wash ourselves, we can't do that. And so we understand tonight what it means to have God's grace given unto us. The poor in spirit not only understand the grace of God, but I believe we also understand just how precious Jesus Christ is. He's not just a name. It's not just a name that we talk about. He's not just another person, but He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you and I tonight, we understand He is precious. The Bible says, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. We hear today, we listen, we see all the junk that goes on in our country. I saw a sign, I'm sure some of you have seen it also, and it said, if Mary had had an abortion, we wouldn't be in this mess. Isn't that something? If she'd had an abortion, we wouldn't have. What they're really saying is, if she'd had an abortion, there would be no Jesus. My goodness. If we have no Lord, we have no life. If we have no Lord, we have no eternal life. And so we understand, you and I tonight, we are the disciples of the Lord. We're sitting in the same position that these disciples were in. Who of us do not get tired of all the hustle and bustle of the day? Who of us doesn't get tired of all the struggles? Sure we do. And sometimes we just need to get away and just let the Lord speak to our heart. And that's what He did to these disciples. And the first thing He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Not the haughty, not the arrogant, but the poor in spirit. And those will be and will inherit and will have the kingdom of heaven. Christ not only gives us life, He is life. Not only does He give us life, He is our life. And so we understand how precious the Lord Jesus Christ is. I was very surprised during some of the inauguration things that took place. But every person, and I didn't agree with a lot of those that stood up there. I'm not ecumenical and all that stuff that goes with, but every person that prayed, prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. I thought, what a blessing it is to be able to hear that. I even had a woman pastor there. I certainly don't agree with her. But she prayed as good a prayer as anybody prayed. And she prayed in the, and you know what? I'm not sure the Lord didn't hear it. I mean, just because I don't agree with her, and I believe the Scripture is very clear about who pastors, but I believe she can get a hold of God. And she prayed, and Franklin Graham prayed, and different ones, and some I wouldn't even go hear prayed. But the most of them that I heard, that, unless they was really what, that chanter, I don't know what he was, but I don't know what he said either, so I'm not going to put him in the crowd. But those that I could understand and knew a little bit about who they were, they used the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They read some scriptures that were good. They read some things. And somebody, I heard somebody, I don't remember now who said it or where I heard it, said they had always had certain things they could and could not do in inauguration and out for everybody because got to be politically correct. And whoever was talking said, they told us just do whatever the Spirit led us to do. Now that's different. Way different. And I know I don't agree, but thank God for a little bit of breath of fresh air. Just a little bit of breeze coming through that you know the Lord has done some things for us. And those folks that name the name of Christ, we're hated. And especially if you're on multiple TV shows and that inauguration went worldwide. And I thought, thank God the world is hearing the name Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And so, blessed are the poor in spirit. We understand how precious the name Jesus Christ is. It's been a long dry spell, been a long, hard-fought battle in some areas. Thank God there's some things changing for the good. Is it going to usher in the kingdom? No, don't ever get that far. Man is still man, sin is still sin, and wickedness is still there. But thank the Lord, He has given us a breath of fresh air and a breeze of rejoicing here for a little bit in our country, and thank God for the things going on in our state. Praise the Lord for that. And again, we may not agree with everything, but thank God for what good things are being accomplished and are done. I think it's either February the 10th or the 11th. I forget the date. Going to have Christians at the Capitol. We went last year, really enjoyed that. And we have a governor that I believe that is a born-again Christian. And the lieutenant governor, man, she's got a great testimony. And Brother Watts, he's the independent chaplain there. He led her to the Lord before the election ever took place. And she has a very vibrant, clear testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank God for those of us in our circle that know how precious the Lord Jesus Christ is. Without Him, we are nothing. He is life. He is our life. He is our all in all. I believe the poor in spirit understand the importance of biblical truth, what we believe. It's wonderful to be able to say, this is what the Bible says. It's wonderful to be able to read something and then be able to give forth the message of what truth really is. So the grace of God brings it to us. We understand how precious Jesus Christ is. We understand the value of the Bible, the value of spiritual nourishment, to read and to study and to do those things on our own. It's a great thing, and that's part of the poor in spirit. The Scripture says, as newborn babes desire the sincere miracle of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Just the sincere milk of the Word. Babes in Christ. Doesn't matter how old you are, when you first get saved, you're a baby. And you have the milk of the Word of God. We grow by that. and we continue to nourish ourselves in the Word of the Lord. The poor in spirit, they understand the importance of the Bible. That's why we stand upon what we believe is the Word of God. And I have no problem, none at all, to hold this book up and say, this is the Word of God. And so the paraphrases and some of the other versions leave so much out. And what we have, I believe we have what God wants us to have. And we have it in our language where we can understand it. And everybody's always trying to make it for the common man to understand. Well, the common man has understood it for years and years, hundreds of years. It's been built upon this book. And thank the Lord for that. We understand how important, so we understand the real price that was paid on Calvary. It wasn't just three men that died there, and one of them was a little higher elevated. One of them was in, it wasn't just any mere individual. But that one on Calvary's tree in the middle, one on the left, one on the right, they were men like people like you and I. They were human beings that had their sinful nature had been exposed, and they had let it run rampant, and they were guilty. And even one of those thieves said, "We are justly here." He told that other thief on the cross that was more interested in just getting off of the cross. He said, "We're here justly. We're here because of what we are." But then he said, "This man's done nothing amiss." And so we find that we that know the Lord, we understand that the price that was paid on Calvary was the price of redemption, to buy us, to be able to purchase us. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Thank God tonight the Lord considers us his friends. And therefore he lay his life down, he shed his blood, that we might be able to live. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 1, "For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." My salvation is not based on a gold piece or a silver coin. It's not based upon the price of money. It's not based upon the goods of this world. So we know that. We're not redeemed with corruptible things, but from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish. Thank God, no blemish in our Lord. We understand how important he is. We understand how precious his blood is. We understand the Calvary tree and what it means to us, that without spot or without blemish, Jesus died as that sacrificial lamb that the Lord began to teach about that, I believe, even in the Garden of Eden. And so he is that Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The poor in spirit understand that. The world doesn't understand that. Religion doesn't understand that. Religion just says Jesus is one of many. He's no different than anybody else. Well, I'll tell you what, he is different. He is God, came in the flesh, dwelt among men, died as a sinner for you and I, ascended into heaven, and he's coming again. Praise the Lord. No other person has that distinction. The poor in spirit understand Calvary. We understand that we're indebted. We are indebted to him. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee." There the disciples told those folks that came, and they said, "We don't have any silver, we don't have any gold, but what we have, we'll give." You know what we have tonight? We have salvation. And therefore, we give it out into a world of lost sinners. We realize, we understand the true riches, that this world is not our home. Aren't you glad we have more than what we have right now? From the person in here that maybe has the biggest bank account to the small, we are paupers compared to the riches of God. And you and I tonight, we have an understanding that this world, praise the Lord, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm going to live somewhere, but I'm not going to live here. And eternity is for everyone. He says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." And that's what we are. When we meet the Lord, when Christ saves us, we are a pilgrim in this world, walking from earth to glory. And one of these days, He'll take us just like He took all the others that we know. We are waiting for the coming of our Lord. We are waiting maybe that the Lord would be, that we'd be in that group, would see Him come. I believe that's the hope of every believer, that we'll be alive when Jesus comes. And I'll tell you what, this world is ready. I don't see any reason why the Lord don't come. Now He does, or He'd already be here. But I don't see anything, and I know there's nothing has to be fulfilled. And so we're just walking as a stranger and a pilgrim in this land. But one of these days, we may hear the sound of the trump of God. And you know what it's going to say? Come up hither. Be gathered together. We'll go up to be with Him forever and forever. I know where I'm going. Abraham left out not knowing where he was going. I know where I'm going. Abraham knew when he got there, but I know where I'm going before I get there. It's all because of that first thing we dealt with, that we understand the grace of God and the love that He has shed upon us and blessed us with, and the rejoicing of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The disciples came. They were troubled. They were tired. They were give out. And the Lord says, sit down a minute and let me teach you something. And you begin reading and continue reading. And you'll read on through chapter number 7. And you'll read on through those different areas. And the Lord gives them a sermon. And we call it a Sermon on the Mount. That may be the Lord calling right now. That's not the sound of the trumpet. That's not the sound of the trumpet, or we'd be gone. Praise the Lord, we know where we're going. And the disciples were tired and weary. And the Lord says, sit down, bless it. And He's telling those disciples, you are blessed. Blessed for your spirit. Blessed for those that mourn, you're going to be comforted. You that are meek, you're going to inherit the earth. And I personally believe the Jews are going to inherit this earth. This is going to be theirs. And all these blessings, the Lord doesn't say you're happy because of it, you're blessed because of it. And thank God tonight we obtain mercy. We shall see God. We are the children of God. We'll have the kingdom of heaven. And says in verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? All the things the Lord has just blessed. Be exceedingly glad for your reward. Where is it? In heaven. May not be down here. May not be much recognition down here. But thank God one day when we get to heaven, He'll know every and give us every reward that justly belongs to us. And we'll have those crowns that we can offer back to Him one day. And Revelation says we'll throw them at His feet. We'll cast them there because we'll rejoice. And we're there because of Him. Everything in the Bible is centered. Everything in the Bible is around the center, which is Jesus Christ. Everything in heaven will be centered around Jesus Christ. He is the one and only. He's the God of heaven. And blessed are those of us that understand that, that are classified the poor in spirit. We're not haughty. We're not proud in a prideful way of what, of how the world is. But we're just meek and understanding. These are the blessings that God has bestowed upon His disciples. He didn't give this lesson to the multitude. He gave it to His disciples. And you can read those next two or three chapters, the Sermon on the Mount. And He teaches them really what it's all about. And praise the Lord tonight, we can say we are blessed. Let's stand together tonight. We'll have a word of prayer.